Hello and welcome to the Checkpoint Reach podcast. I'm your host Luke Eldon. Today I'm joined by Sud, and today we're also joined by a special guest, Zamros Relay. How are you doing, mate?
I'm doing all right. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, glad to have you on, man.
It's good to have you.
Yeah, you're you're Twitch streamer as well, and we have we'll put all the links in the description below, so definitely go and check that out. And you were telling us that you're also Spanish and Italian mix, so our first ever Spanish slash Italian person on the podcast. So
muchas gracias por tenerme hoy esta mañana en este podcast de Inglaterra. Nadie sabe lo que estoy diciendo. Prometo que no estoy diciendo barbaridades. So yes, I am actually Spanish.
And hello to you too.
I was just saying thanks for having me, and that I promise I'm not saying anything wrong.
We believe you.
In Spanish.
I wouldn't even know if you were. I know it's bad of me, but yeah.
No, you're fine. But yeah, Spanish, Italian, citizen of both countries, and American cool. As well. So just very weird mix.
Hey, it's different. Hey, it's a cool mix, man. It's a cool mix. Been to both Italy and Spain, love them both. Been to America, liked America. So yeah, it ticks all the boxes for me, pal. But thank you for joining. And we're going to be discussing some gaming news today and from the past week, which has mainly been the next gen stuff. So we're going to jump in right now with something that Phil Spencer has been talking about as our first topic, which is console tribalism is one of the worst things in the industry, Xbox boss Phil Spencer says. In a new interview with Xbox, Phil Spencer shared how toxicity can harm the video game industry, calling console tribalism one of the worst things about it, and saying that is one of the reasons that would drive him out of the industry. I'm going to assume that we all kind of agree with this, because how many times do we see fanboys, as they, you know, been named, going up against each other about the different console specs and just games and stuff? And can be tedious at times, I find, anyway.
Oh no, very much tedious. But I think part of the reason why that tribalism came about is because ultimately you can't afford to have, you know, four or five different consoles. If we bump everyone's wage up, yeah, but at the time right now, like that's not feasible. So what people want to do, they want to feel good about their choice. Okay, why is my choice better than your choice? Why is the Xbox better than the PlayStation, or vice versa? Why is the PlayStation better than the Xbox? And then you've got Nintendo on the side route going like, have fun, boys. We're just going to be here with our unique IPs.
Exactly.
But it's, and then you got the people who play PC games kind of looking down going like, oh, the tribes are fighting again.
Yeah. But no, the master race.
I think ultimately it's more of they're trying to justify, hey, this is why my choice is better. This is why I made the right choice. It's not so much like an inherent like, oh, this is better than this. It's more like, hey, I need to justify not getting both sort of thing. And that's my opinion. I don't have much like science to back that up, but ultimately what I've found most prevalent is that most people are hybrids. Inserted, there's no true just PlayStation fanboy, just Xbox fanboy, just Nintendo fanboy. Everyone games in a mix, and it's pretty much how much their wallet allows them to spread that sort of mix out. So that's my opinion. I think I do understand that whole like the toxicity can be tiring, especially for someone who is very much involved in the development and creation of games and having to deal with that. But yeah, I think ultimately it comes down to the trying to justify the choices that people have made.
Yeah, I think to be fair as well, this isn't the first time Phil Spencer's talked about this. I've seen a few articles in the last few years where he's kind of, you know, said similar things to this, and how that, you know, really it's silly, really, because, you know, these companies, they don't base the decisions based off what, you know, John on Twitter says about, you know, what Sony should do, or what, you know, Jim says Microsoft should do, you know.
John and Jim.
Yeah, John and Jim, you know, the console fanboys, but you get
John, Jim, and Billy Bob. You know, actually, this is also like just this, I mean, I know now we have the whole Xbox versus PlayStation 5, but you look back in the late 80s, we had, you know, Dreamcast versus Nintendo versus, you know, this has been a pervading pattern. for the history of video games.
I think as well, you know, I always compare this sort of tribalism. It's the same as any tribalism. You look at sports tribalism with football teams or whatever, basically whatever sport you want to say, you know. You know, everyone has to have their team be the best and no other team can, you know what I'm saying?
Like, oh, I do, yeah.
Well, we know, don't we, first time. But, you know, people, they can't accept, can they, that maybe other teams are good or maybe other teams are not, their team isn't as good. You know what I mean? Like, people just can't accept it and they give any sort of excuse as to why this team's better than this team or it isn't, or, oh, you're only really better because of this, or...
Hold up, is this where you boys tell me you're Gunner fans? Is this what's happening?
No.
Because I was going to have to break some real truths for you boys.
Well, you've actually got a Liverpool fan in me, and Sud's a Man City fan, so...
Yeah. I technically have to say I'm a fan of La Real Sociedad, which is a Spain, it's a soccer team based
well,
in...
Well, of course, you've just inherited one of our legends. And David Silva.
Yeah. Well, I have to say it because if I don't, my family will find me. I may be in the States, but I'm not safe.
There you go.
And to be fair as well, I mean, Real Sociedad are they currently top of the league or
top.
Second, I think?
Well, there's La Real Sociedad and then there's La Real Sociedad de Madrid. So two different teams.
Oh, there you go. See, I'd never even knew.
Yeah. So one's based in the middle, one's based in the north. So the north one's a smaller club. They do all right, but you know, it's a smaller club and it's for, you know, that's the local club. So that's why I support it.
Right. Got you.
Cool.
Well, then, you know, in football, it definitely relates with tribalism in football, like Sub was touching on. And that does seem
club versus clubs, even sport versus sport. You know,
exactly.
Especially more in the States versus Europe. Europe soccer pretty much is the king in terms of widespread popularity. But in the United States, you have baseball fans versus hockey fans versus football fans.
Yeah.
So, like, 100% tribalism is a thing. I don't think it's unique to video games. And I know that, you know, Spencer spoke it most because of it's in with his realm of interest. He's saying, you know, that tribalism is what drives me nuts. And I'm sitting here going, like, it's kind of humanity that's driving you nuts there.
It is.
What I do find interesting about his comments is how he goes on to say that, you know, it could be the thing that drives him out of the industry, which seems pretty extreme. But, you know, obviously, like, gets him down as well, doesn't it? Like, gets a lot of people down. This sort of constant, like, knocking of other companies and, you know, knocking of, oh, this game's better on this system, and blah, blah, blah. It's, I don't know, it's kind of, all these points are kind of mute anyway at the end of the day, because, you know, everything's subjective. Nothing's objective. There's not many things in life that are objective. There's a few things, obviously, that, you know.
Well, hold up. No, graphic quality is objective. Like you can look at one system how it looks and then another one, and one of them's going to look objective.
But having said that, so, you know, could you say that 60 frames per second is objectively better than, you know, 4K, for example? Like, it's a subjective thing. Some people prefer frame rate, some people prefer resolution. You know, that's what I'm trying to get at. You know, people that very argue about this and that, and, you know, because you see people, don't you, saying, you know, 30 FPS peasants and stuff like that, and, you know, the people that don't like, you know, and you also see people saying, oh, 4K is overrated and HDR is overrated. So it's like, you know, and we've probably all got opinions on that, which one prefer, but at the end of the day, it's all subjective. There's no objectively better way of playing, I guess.
Look, I just want my gameplay to be smooth and to look pretty. Mm-hmm. Once I've reached that bass baritone, I don't care how many extra pixels I've got.
Yeah, I'm the same. We're probably out of the tribalism mindset of consoles now as well. Sud, anyway, us two, because we've ended up with both systems in the last gen and this gen, essentially. Because we've both got an S and a PS5, so it's kind of I'm just like you, Zamruth. I'm just, you know, if I just want to play a good game, and I'll pick up on any system now at this point. So I'm in a tribalism. I'm not really in one camp or the other at the moment.
And I think we were talking a little bit about this before we started, I'm definitely not in that tribe. I mean, I'm still sitting on an Xbox 360 because there was nothing on Xbox One that I really wanted to play, and I didn't feel like picking up a PS4. And now I'm looking at everyone trying to get a PS5, and I'm like, maybe I'll wait. Sort of thing.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
To be fair as well, you're in the upper tribe, aren't you? The PC Master Race. So.
Well, I mean...
you can just like look down at everyone and go like, well, we're all better than you anyway.
Well, it's like I've got a good selection coming in on the PC, you know? And ironically, that's why the other part of my mix is very heavily the Nintendo stuff, because it doesn't show up on the PC. So
no, that's true.
Get the Nintendo stuff, you know?
So, I mean, even the PlayStation exclusives are turning up on PC these days. And you look because, like Horizon Zero Dawn and things like that. So
yeah, it'll delayed, but it'll get there.
Yeah, delayed.
Good example is Monster Hunter World. That was came out a couple of years ago. Came out exclusively for at first for PlayStation, but they said, "Oh no, it is going to come to PC. It's just going to be delayed." Mm-hmm. I said, "I have no need to buy a PS for this. It's just going to be. I don't mind waiting." And that's why I did.
Yeah,
that's it.
I think a lot of things probably do pull down. If you don't mind waiting for things, then not really in a rush.
Suddenly there's discounts and deals.
Exactly.
That's it.
Like I picked up Mortal Kombat 11 for $60. Everything. Expansion that's priced at $35, all the DLC and the base game that's now set at like $40 or $50, but it was $60 on release as well.
Mm-hmm. There you go. You're winning. And see, I didn't rush, but I was in the race to buy a PS5 and managed to get one, luckily enough, and then only for it to be broken on arrival. I know. The applause have to stop. Ooh. Yeah.
That's the green screen of death.
The green screen of death. And now, so I'm waiting. Sony is sending out a box. I've got to send it back, yada, yada. But I'm just regretting rushing to try and get the day one console.
Well, it's not just that. I guess your enthusiasm has probably obviously gone down now.
It has, as a result, yeah.
I mean, sure, when you get it back, you might get a bit of a, okay. But at the minute,
Well, I mean, hey, at least you didn't break it on purpose. Like, you know, you had the videos of the people like breaking the PS3 or the ones of blowing vape smoke into the Xbox. Yeah.
That was quite funny, though, to be fair.
Literally, Microsoft had to make a release. It's like, we can't believe we're saying this. Yeah. Don't do this thing.
See, I don't get that. Like you were touching on, did you guys see the one with the lad who bought a PS5 and then just smashed it outside?
Yeah, I saw that one.
And it's like, why, mate? Like, for, as they call it, clout. It's like, come on.
Hey, you know what? If he has that kind of money to burn, more power to him. Me, I prefer going to a good restaurant. But that's just me. I like good food. I didn't have a choice. I'm Spanish-Italian. I had to like these things.
The problem with that one, though, is that it will have worked because he will have made far more money from that video than it cost him to buy the PS5.
I don't know. It was on Twitter.
Yeah,
but a lot of these, how many likes and things like that have got and how many views, it's like...
Hold up, but no, but just straight likes doesn't give me money, you know? It doesn't give him money either. He needs to be able to monetize that video.
And there's no monetization on Twitter for the video.
No, true. So, unless he had some... I don't know if he had links or anything. But anyway, even... I don't agree with it anyway. It's ridiculous.
I mean, if maybe he was just pursuing the fame and again, you know,
yeah.
See previous statement, more power to him.
And for all
I wouldn't want to be famous for that. But that's just me.
I mean, it's famous for being a dick as well. Like, come on.
Yeah.
And it's just part of the course, really.
You know, for all we know as well, he could have just had another one sitting in the back.
Bet you he did.
He probably did. He probably a scalper that bought about 5-10 of them or something. So.
Oh, the scalpers of the moment.
Did you all see that scalper that had bought like 1,000 of them or something? Like, it was ridiculous. Or it was like a group of people that had bought like over 1,000 PS5s at once on eBay, and it's just like,
guys, don't buy consoles from scalpers. Make them eat that cost.
I mean, some people have been buying them for like £1,000 and stuff, and it's like, come on, like, it's just not worth it. It's not worth it. You know, these consoles anyway, they have refreshes that are always better than the first console. So, I mean, you know, we've both been suckers and bought the first PS5, but I'd never buy one for double the price of what it's supposed to be.
No,
that's ridiculous.
I mean, to be honest, I just make a rule of not buying off scalpers in the first place because I don't want them to succeed in what they're doing. But you know, I guess I feel like majority of people don't like scalpers, but there are obviously clearly a lot of them out there that don't mind what they're doing. So
all
we can say is please don't buy off a scalper.
I mean, at the end of the day, the market talks, and if they're getting, you know, if they're making money off it, then why would they stop doing it?
Yeah,
that's the issue.
But that's what I'm saying, guys. You know, for everyone listening in today, please don't buy from scalpers. Make them suffer for having bought 1,000 PS5s, because when the PS6 comes out, they won't be able to buy 1,000 and you'll be able to pick it up at a cheaper rate.
Well, they also, recently Sony on Twitter announced there's more consoles available before Christmas. And it's like, yeah, but we all know what's going to happen. The scalpers will be back.
No, but the other thing is, and this is a Sony thing that I've noticed more, is that they like to have a limited supply. And I'm saying this because the things we're hearing about scalping, you know, the limited supplies. Oh, suddenly more supplies before Christmas. This has been their pattern for new console releases. And I'm not saying Xbox is clean in this regard. I'm just saying it, at this point, it's the same song with Sony and the PlayStation in general. Like they like to do this, and I get it. It works. Scarcity increases demand. I don't know why it works that way, but it works. Clearly, yeah. Something in our animal brains go, oh, there's less of them. Now I need it more because of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a market employee for sure, it would seem. And like you said, scarcity, it does. It just works. So until the day it doesn't work, then they're going to keep doing it, probably.
You probably use that as a segue because it clearly has worked, hasn't it?
Well, yeah, because segue and... Yeah, well, yeah, it's basically topic two is going to be Sony related anyway. And as mentioned, yeah, they have the biggest selling console launch in history, they have announced. And Sony expects its next gen console to outperform its predecessor, the PS4, by the current fiscal year, end of the current fiscal year, sorry. And the PS4 sold 7.6 million units during the first comparable period. So, yeah, PS5's on course to smash the records, but there is no surprise there, is there?
No,
not really, but for a couple of factors, not just only, okay, it's a new console, it's going to have demand just because everybody's upgrading, people who want more exclusives are going to buy it, that sort of thing, especially with, and I think this was very intelligent on PlayStation's part, they have that limited exclusive bundle, like if you get it, you get access to a bunch of games that are going to be exclusive on the PS5. So I think that was a really good thing that probably helped push up demand. But I know we said, hey, this is, you know, it's the greatest, you know, we've outsold the PS4. Yeah, okay, hey, we're in the middle of a worldwide quarantine. You want to know list the number of activities you can do in your house? Video game is pretty high up there in terms of things you can do. I'm not surprised that they've had, like, more demand than ever because they've have a more trapped market. They have a cornered market that people who would normally go out clubbing rather than, you know, might, then they may not have picked it up until after the New Year's. Mm-hmm. Now don't have anything to do, they're going to pick it up. Nintendo's been doing very well with their switch buys. You know, when Animal Crossing came out right in the beginning of the whole worldwide community around in March, Switches were sold out, nobody could find a Switch. This is saying, oh my god, we have this great success. And in truth, it's, hey, look at time and circumstance, that's going to help attribute, because the PS5 has had more difficulties in terms of its actual launch with systems not working and other issues that would have normally impaired it. And I think we're losing sight of that, but mostly just because, hey, we're all trapped in our house. You know, just like Luke, you got yours, it didn't work, you have to send it back. You're waiting for the one to come back. That's getting a little glossed over just because there's only so many books in my house, right?
Yeah.
I say that, but like I've got these three bookcases and more in the background.
Yeah, so. I was looking and I was thinking, you've got quite a lot, actually.
Yeah.
Can we tell that I have a lot of hobbies?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely not surprising given that we also heard that obviously Microsoft said that, you know, they have the biggest launch in Xbox history, you know, with the Series X and S. So it would be very shocking if PlayStation didn't also have the highest, wouldn't it, to be honest?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's one of them things. I mean, like you said, it does seem that, it seems to me, though, that, you know, the PlayStation brand in general, it's probably never been stronger than right now, to be honest, compared to the competition. I think, you know, you look at some of the exclusives they had this generation, you compare it to the competition. Okay, you know, Nintendo, to be honest, I never compare PlayStation to Nintendo because Nintendo, for me, is its own thing.
Well, Nintendo got out of console wars, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Back in GameCube Wii era, like we're talking before, you know, with the first Xbox, Nintendo was already going like, guys, do whatever you want. I'm going to be in my corner with my IPs. That's how I'm going to stay alive. I'm going to, you know, PlayStation and Xbox for the last couple of generations, I've been fighting for the gamer market. And I do the air quotes there because Nintendo shifted their focus and being like, we don't give a shit about just the gamer. We want everybody. We want the family. We want the kids, the parents, everybody.
How many people had the Wii?
Yeah, a lot.
It was insane. Yeah. People, I go around to people's houses and they never even talked about games or consoles, and they've just got a Wii sat there, and I'm like, well, oh, okay, you got the Wii. Strange.
Strange with the Wii, though, because with the Wii, it did so well in its first 2 or 3 years, and then it literally just dropped off a cliff when people realized, yeah, it doesn't have any games anymore. Well, there's no third-party support coming through and things like that. But to be fair to the Switch, they've definitely... I mean, I mean, their third party support was never going to be as good as
because all the third parties are like, we want to make the prettiest game with the highest
and obviously the Switch hardware is limited,
you know? and Nintendo's always been like, I'm gonna do my own thing. So they got out of the console war. I mean, and to be fair, when that started between Sony and Xbox, Nintendo was like, yo, we did this. We're done. We're good. I've earned my stripes. I'm going to and I think they did this. They did a more smart play, I think. Honestly, they have brand recognition that's keeping them. I say it like in the past sense. No, they're still in the market. They're still a wildly successful company. And I feel like that can't be underestimated. Now, hey, you've got PlayStation and Xbox fighting for like that card line. And it's true that in this case, Xbox has been losing in that exclusivity market. And to be fair, they're owned by Microsoft. Microsoft was never going to say, just keep it on the Xbox. There's always going to be that like PC, the PC guys are going to get it too. And I think that's where some people are like, oh, you're losing out on that front. But at the same time, it's like some people do prefer the console. And integration of controllers for the Xbox to PC gamers, for example, is much smoother than with the PlayStation controls. So there's give and take. I know that Xbox has the Game Pass, which is how they've pretty much been more competitive. It's saying, hey, we have a massive library that we can share with you with a subscription platform. And I think that's how they may not be winning on the exclusivity market, but I think they're winning in, they're keeping in the competition in that sense by saying, hey, all these games that you can play because of, you know, of our system, do this service. Here you go. Enjoy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you touch on Game Pass, and that's actually something that PlayStation have been speaking about. Sony CEO Jim Ryan saying that there's news to come on a PlayStation response to Xbox Game Pass. So that'll be interesting to see what the PlayStation do on that front. Because, I mean, me and you, Sud, we've been champion in Game Pass for, what, years? A couple of years now, probably? I don't know. They all blur into one, but we are real big fans of the subscription-based service. We think it offers a lot of good value, so Sony have to respond with something, and now they finally looks like they're going to, after years of saying that, well, didn't they say it wasn't going to work and start?
Yeah, they did, to be fair, and, you know, that's clearly been proven that, you know, they weren't right on that one, but, yeah, I mean, the previous point I was just going to make about the PlayStation was that, you know, the reason why the PS5, it seems, is probably going to carry on being a good success is because, you know, they built up so much goodwill, the PlayStation, you know, the PlayStation 4 and Sony with their exclusives. You know, we all know Spider-Man, Horizon, God of War, you know, they're all, you know, great games, or staple games
and
that people
enjoy. And now you have Spider-Man with Miles Morales.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Miles Morales has done really well. That seems to be reviewing well. People are enjoying it. So, and that's the one thing Xbox didn't have. However, as we know, the one thing that Xbox has, not secretly, but has been doing over the last couple of years is building their studios up. And, you know, with Game Pass as well, Game Pass has been a massive success for them. And, you know, things can change very quickly in this industry, as we know. So, you know, Sony are on top now, and I do think that will carry on the PlayStation 5 because, you know, you look at the slate of games that will probably be out there, it's looking good for them. But the problem with Xbox in it is we don't know what's coming. Like, in terms of, we know some of the games that are coming. We've heard about that Avowed game, and, you know, there's other exclusives. They're going to obviously have their Gears and Halo and things like that, and Forza. As they're obviously renowned for, but, you know, we don't know what a lot of their studios are working on, so that's a bit of wait and see. But, however, with Game Pass, we know all those games will be day one on their console, which is a very attractive prospect for a lot of people, especially, like Zanross, you mentioned it, a lot of people at the minute, you know, don't have a lot of money, you know, there's a lot of people on budgets, so Game Pass, especially with the Series S as well, that's a very attractive proposition for a lot of people, so I think over time that Series S will actually do really well for them. But PlayStation definitely needs a response because that is one area that you know, subscription services is the one area for me that Xbox has them beat pretty easily.
Well, and like you mentioned, you said, I think it's going to do better with time. And I agree with that because right now, you know, there's the hype. Everyone's going for the PlayStation. Also, because some of those sort of like release day exclusives, sort of like the hype, I want to play that. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's like the other ones will gather. They will get those, the sales they will get. And I don't think by any means, what was it? I know people back when before this was released, when they were still just like, were saying, oh, this is going to have this, that a lot of people are like, oh, that's it. PlayStation's going to win. You know, it's finally going to be over. And literally my reaction every time has been like, we'll see. In the sense, not because I care. I'm not like, yes, I have an Xbox 360. I don't have the equivalent to PlayStation, but it doesn't mean I'm an Xbox fan over the PlayStation fan. I like to take a look and see, hey, what is one offering versus the other? Mm-hmm. PlayStation has always banked, and it's now a couple of generations now, on its exclusives. That's how they've kept in the game. They're still doing that. Great. It's clearly worked. There's no, you know, if something's worked, don't fix it sort of thing. And that's the very much the thing. I know Xbox tried to do that, the exclusivity back in the day, you know, with the 360, and they had exclusive titles and didn't really pan out the same way for PlayStation, because like I mentioned earlier in this podcast, at the end of the day, they're owned by Microsoft. It's never going to be just exclusive on the Xbox. So then once it's on the Xbox and the PC, the PlayStation is going to get it like shortly after. It just doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I think as well, to be fair, it's fair to say that if Xbox One had a better generation, then I think Microsoft would be in an extremely strong position now, because if they'd have had good exclusives and on top of Game Pass as well, it would be almost a sort of two-pronged attack on Sony, because yeah, we all know Sony are renowned for exclusives, but if Microsoft also had a, you know, equally as good a generation, then there's no doubt about it that Microsoft is ahead on subscription services and software. Hardware. I think Xbox definitely build their systems better than Sony, to be honest with you. I mean, you look at the form factor of the PlayStation 5. Yeah, you know, I'm looking at mine right now. It's so massive, and it's a very ugly console, unfortunately.
I completely agree. You text me when you got it, and you were like, honestly, Lou, it's like so much bigger than you think. And I was like, obviously I was thinking, yeah, of course, I take your point on board. And then when I actually took it out myself, I was like, Jesus, yeah, that is huge. Well,
I compare it to, of course, I have the Series S, which is the smaller one, not the Series X. I know people say sometimes, you know, it's a little bit bulky, the Series X, but the Series S is such a nice looking machine. So small. I mean, it's not as powerful as a PlayStation, obviously, the PlayStation 5, but you know, I just, their form factor is really good on Xbox. It's nice and simple, it looks clean. Whereas, yeah, I don't know, this PlayStation, yeah, I'm not
well, this new one, I don't know what direction they were going with the design, but I definitely,
no, like, I don't like it.
Yeah, not for me either.
Nope. I think they'll change it, obviously. They're going to have a revision at some point down the line, but.
Or even if they don't, because sometimes you know, ugly duckling stays. Mm-hmm. But you know, if it deliver, let's be honest, like if it delivers on everything else, are we going to really harp about the look of?
No, of course. But I just think, in general, I think it's an area Xbox do excel in, is their console designs. I think to some people it does make a difference. Some people, you know, there is some people that genuinely. Care about how their, you know, system, how their like setup looks and things like that, and they don't like things being out of place. And so maybe for a few people it would make a difference. But I think in general, the one area we all know, it's games. At the end of the day, that's what we play the systems for. It's games. That's what people want to do on their systems most of the time. So if you have a weaker game lineup, you're probably not going to do as well. And that's what happened to Xbox this past generation, unfortunately for them.
Well, that said, you know, Xbox had its ugly duckling. It was the Xbox itself. The first version was
That was awful.
And it's fair to say the Xbox One wasn't very nice either. That VCR, I mean, VCR machine, it was too big. And
well, the one I've got. Still.
Yeah, it wasn't very nice. You know, that was not very nice.
You know what? That grew on me over time. I think I got a bit nostalgic with it.
But I think, Sid, you made some excellent points there in that ultimately, Xbox does need to step up, maybe not necessarily an exclusive, like either they have to deliver, something, either quality or something that PlayStation can't follow up on. And honestly, what I think would be a good avenue for Xbox to pursue, and I'll explain why, crossplay. Now in the last year or so, a little more than that, crossplay has started to happen between consoles and computers. Mm-hmm. And I think that Xbox being owned by Microsoft can really capitalize on that. Sure, one would say, well, okay, but why do that? You know, you're just going to start dealing with the PC streams. But if you have the option to allow it, and I'm saying not forced up, not forcing them to the consoles to play with the PCs and vice versa, but if they allow that you choose to play with, you know, I think that's going to get a lot of people who, you know, maybe they can't afford a high-end gaming computer, but they could afford the Xbox. So they buy the Xbox, but now they can play not only with all their friends on Xbox, but all of their computer friends as well.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly that's something that PlayStation is never going to allow, because number one, they'd have to give up the exclusivity.
True.
So they've not supported it in the past, and they're not looking to support it in the future, because they want less titles being on multiple systems.
Yeah. And I wouldn't mind that option.
Situation,
as long as you could turn it on and off. Because
I think that's the clear point, because some games, for example,
Warzone, I hate
the consoles would get slaughtered.
I hate playing Warzone.
You know, don't you, Luke? Warzone. I mean, it's again, if you're playing against PC players, you're gonna lose. I mean, it's simple as that. I mean,
yeah, most of the time, unless they're really bad.
Or you've got a console player that's a god or something. But you know, even the best console players
can don't discount that possibility of them being really bad.
That's true.
But the only thing I'd say, and probably maybe slightly in. Not defense of Sony, I'm trying to think of the word really, to counter your point about Sony a little bit, is Sony have, to me, started to be a little bit more lax with their games and where they are. I mean, you look at how many games now are, they're not going day one to PC, I don't think they will for a long time, if ever. However, they are starting to migrate a few of their games across. You look at Horizon Zero Dawn, probably being the biggest example. There's been rumors about God of War coming to PC, which I think will happen soon.
But here's my counterpoint to that. Is it Sony, or is it the studios that have been making their exclusives that are sort of finally pushing back and saying, we're done? Like, we'll give you a limited, we'll give you a window of exclusivity, but we're not going to step out of not getting the money from the other
markets. With Horizon, no, because they do own Guerrilla. So, that, I mean, they can effectively order them around, can't they?
No, well, I wasn't thinking Zero Dawn, actually. I was thinking Monster Hunter World in my head.
Oh, sorry. Well, of course.
Because
that was
Capcom. That wasn't. Yeah. That route, because they do have exclusive games from other studios. Yeah. Their own internal studios, to your point. Well, they're the boss.
That was the point I was making. They are being a little bit more sort of like, okay, yeah, we'll let you have this one. Don't get me wrong, it's nowhere near the same as Xbox. Xbox is pretty much unanimous now with they're both. And anything that goes on Xbox is on PC, and that's
no.
That's
okay, cool. Okay, but Horizon Zero Dawn came out in 2017.
So it's been a while.
When was it released
for
PC?
Earlier, it was August, was it? July, August this year.
So we're talking.
It's a long time, yeah.
Three years. That's.
But what I'm saying is, you wouldn't have got that from Sony 5 years ago. They would have just been like, never, never coming to PC, never.
True. That's.
I'm just
true.
Saying slowly but surely.
That's very slow.
The point I was going to make is, I do agree with you though, because I think your point about in the future, I think Sony have to do this. They're going to have to start doing this. They're going to have to move with where the market's going. Everything is going towards a unanimous sort of. Console PC thing, and Sony, as we know, have been very slow on this uptake. I think it's fair to say, but I do think they are going to have to change eventually, because that's the way the market's going to shift eventually. So what I'm saying is, I think Sony are trying as long as possible to hold on to that. Oh, we want our initial 10 million consoles sellers, and we want our PS4 to sell, but eventually, I do think in 5-10 years, they're all going to be having to, you know, be on everything. Eventually, because that's the way it's going.
I mean, that said, again, I'm just going to point out, February 2017, earlier, let's be generous, let's say it was January 2020. 3 years, that is a mainstay life cycle of a console. So it wasn't so much, we're going to give it now, it's, we've got the PS5 coming out, we don't need to hold on to this one anymore.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, there's a reason why they chose Horizon Zero Dawn and didn't choose God of War, isn't there? As one of the first games. I mean, because they know that obviously if they put God of War on there, they're going to get more backlash from their own fans and things like that. I get it. But I think eventually a lot of these fans, they're going to have to just accept that this is the way things are going. And I do think that time will start to reduce over time. Like, I think you'll start seeing it maybe reduced down to like 18 months and then 12 months. And then I do think that will happen eventually.
I think the way it's going to progress is it's going to be starting to be the non-PlayStation owned studios that are making exclusives are going to start pushing to be allowed to open it to other consoles, to other systems.
Death Stranding is a good example.
Yeah.
They're going to want that revenue source.
You know, Death Stranding was a game that came to PC. I mean, it came out on PlayStation November 2019, and I think it was on PC in June or July of this year. I think it was around an 8 month. Was that about 8 months? Eight months?
Something around difference. That.
Maybe a little bit longer, maybe 9 months. But that's a good example, Zamros, of what you were saying about how, you know, companies that aren't owned by Sony, like Consumer Productions, saying, no, we're going to release on PC and there's nothing you can kind of do about it.
They should as well, though, because it's going to get more players of their game, obviously, and open up more revenue sources and streams. Yeah, so why wouldn't they?
So at the end of the day, what PlayStation has always been doing, and we see it now with, you know, the last games that came out for PS4 and the games that are coming out for PS5, it's the, can we get the guy who has a PC, who has a Nintendo, who has an Xbox, to buy our system for this game? Now, two generations ago, three generations ago, and we're talking video game generations, guys. I'm not talking about my great-grandfather playing video games. Come on now. They could do that. They could make that gamble and win because game libraries were much, much smaller. If you actually look at the releases for how many games came out for Nintendo 64, for Dreamcast, for the Game Boy Color, for Game Boy Advance, it's a much smaller list. Now, games, not only because the market has demanded backwards compatibility of let me play my old games as well, like, they can't get someone to just, and Nintendo's struggling with this too, by the way. So this is not just a PlayStation thing. This is a cross the board sort of phenomena where it goes, well, I'm not going to buy a whole console just for Breath of the Wild, just for Ghost of Tsushima. It's not worth it. I have this backlog that I need to get through. I can't be spending, and especially now with consoles being more and more expensive, because that's the other thing. Like, I think that's also a factor that is making it harder for someone to be like, oh, I'm just pick up an Xbox for this game. Because now it's like, you know what? I haven't even looked at the prices, but I know it's in the $400, $500 range, I want to say, like right off the top of my head. It's like,
to be fair, if you did want to jump on the Xbox next gen, you could get the S for £250, I think it was, and $299.
$299, yeah.
So yeah, that's definitely more affordable option.
Although,
it's a lot less powerful.
Let's be honest, you can't be getting any of those at the minute. Nothing's in stock for Xbox or PlayStation.
What, is even the S sold out now?
I think so. I haven't checked recently, sure they didn't make as many as the X. So.
I mean, comparatively. I mean, the price, outside of inflation and how that just increases the price of things in general, a Nintendo 64 back in early 2000, late 90s,
I have no idea.
Yeah,
when it
1990,
came out.
No. The N64 in 1999 was about $120, and that came with Pokemon Stadium. I know, because that's what I bought back in the day. I saved. I had about a $3 allowance. Me and my brother, we saved it for weeks, and we got lucky. You know, there were some birthdays and a couple things that helped boost up the pace, so we got a little sooner rather than later. But that was it's $120. That's two games now. System.
To be fair, though, that wouldn't have been at launch, though, would it? I mean, the Nintendo 64 came out in like 96, 97, something like that. I think
it's 98, but you know what?
Or maybe not. You might be right. It could be 98. It's one of them years. I can't remember. It's a long time ago.
I
was like seven.
June of 1996. That's what it was. It came out in June of 1996. My defense, I was 5 years old. I picked it up.
I'd have been four, so. No, I'm just saying that, like...
I'm sorry, am I the old man in the group? My face just ages.
No, to be fair, though, I get your point. I mean, it is, you know, you think of, like, games... I mean, it's actually, you know, you say $120. Would that even get you two games in the US now? I mean, games are now going up to $60, $70. Some are $70, so it's like you're only just getting two games for $120 nowadays, whereas, like you said, you get a... In 1999, you could have picked up a brand new console with a... I mean, Pokemon Stadium was a great game as well. I love that game.
Well, actually, to be fair, the 60 cap seems to be a hard cap or a harder cap that the market has been kind of resisting price points above it. They're going like,
apparently the rumors are though next gen is going to be 70.
I mean, you look, it was NBA 2K21 that went to 70.
Tell me about all those sports games that really.
No, but it's like the Sony games, of course, as we know, they're pushing their prices up. Demon Souls 70 and all that. So,
gonna be expensive generation, that's for sure.
But I just want to go back to the Game Pass sort of point. How do you two? I kind of want to get your two's take on how you think this will look for Sony. I mean, do we literally think it'll be a copy and paste of Game Pass? Or do you think Sony haven't got the, what's the word?
What, the infrastructure?
No, I was going to say haven't got the cojones or the balls to do it.
Cojones?
You know.
Even in 90s film.
No. Yeah, like, you know, I thought I'd use a bit of...
Cojones. Okay, you know what, yeah, you're going to pronounce it right. Los cojones.
Well, there you go. I'll let you pronounce it more. But basically, have they got, yeah, whatever that is,
have
to do it.
Have they got
to do,
the
to do
stones to do
yeah,
it?
Yeah, that's probably a better word to use.
Yes, 100%. Oh, when, okay, come on. Do we not all remember with the last generation and the Kinect and that all fiesta that was?
I remember it well.
Yeah, that crap.
PlayStation literally was like, we're going to copy paste the Xbox selling point and market it ourselves. Literally, that was the press release. And
I think it would be this. I've got to say, I think it would be the smart thing to do.
Mate, look at everything on demand, though. They're all pretty much the same sort of services. When
everyone copies each other, don't they?
Yeah. So I'm going to imagine that Sony would do the same thing.
Which is why streaming services are now being pirated at greater frequencies, because we got away from cable because we didn't want to have 415 different subscriptions. Now we're back to 1415 subscriptions. I know a bunch of people taking out pirate hats going like, we're sailing, buckos.
Yeah, the amount I have at the moment is a disgrace. Need to cut down on that.
Yeah, I know, it's true. But I think for me, the one difference that I see is the one area I don't think it will be completely copy and paste is I don't think they're going to put their games in first day. On this, they're not going to suddenly go Horizon Forbidden West is in day one, because why would they do that? Because at the end of the day, they know them games sell millions of copies. And
actually, I wanted to ask you so dead quick about this when we were talking about first party exclusives and stuff like that. Do you not feel like Xbox relied on Halo and Gears so much that when their popularities declined a little bit, that they started suffering, and obviously they didn't have the next first party exclusives to back them up either. They were pretty poor. Is that right? Because I'm not a Halo player, as you know. So did the Halo games decline in popularity?
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, that's obvious.
I mean,
pretty
yes
obvious,
and no. It lasts until about...
It's not obvious, lad, if you don't play them.
I'm saying I think it's obvious in terms of you look at the state Halo Infinite's in now. I mean, in terms of how it's not looking good, is it? I mean, we all saw that infamous memes of Craig and things like that. I mean,
well, to be perfectly fair, what really happened was that Bungie stopped making the Halo franchise, and they had a whole new studio. But pretty much what happened is, and this is the Achilles heel on the Xbox side. It's why they don't have exclusives. It's why they are having a harder time competing against the PlayStation exclusives. They didn't have the studio set up for it. They had Bungie. Bungie was doing a fantastic job. Bungie finally said, we're done with Halo. We don't want to do anything more. They think their last game was actually Halo Reach. And then they said, we're out. They started developing Destiny, which, by the way, that they released the newest expansion for Destiny 2, November 10th, Beyond Light. It's literally downloaded. I'm going to play this afterwards. I've been working, and it's been being pushed back, but like I'm literally going like I'm gonna do this. But Bungie like left, and then starting with Halo 4, suddenly the Halo fanboys, because at this point I'm gonna turn, weren't as hyped about it anymore as they used to be. Something changed. Why? Halo as a game, fantastic shooter, still smooth. You definitely feel that when you play Destiny, because you know it's got its daddy's eyes in that regard. But what happened was there was a story. And it might have been, you see people like, not really. No, but it had, you know, the first Halo grabbed me from a story perspective. I was actually interested. What were the Halo for? The whole progress was fun. It was engaging. And then the 2 and 3 delivered for the most part in terms of memorable characters. And then 4 went in the sort of jumping the shark for me. And I know that I figured out what the story was, watched the videos, and not really as engaged as I was in the past.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's fair to say you're right. When Bungie left, that, you know, that was, for a lot of people, that was the point where they go, I don't care about Halo anymore. You know, I think for a lot of people, that was the point where they go, whatever. I agree in a sense that Halo still, you know, even Halo 5, like, which, I mean, from a story perspective, wasn't good, but the game still felt good to play. You know, and I actually think Halo Infinite will feel good to play. I think it'll be a good game to play. It's if they can, but they don't, 343, they definitely don't have that magic that Bungie has. There was just something about Bungie with Halo that, and like you said, you know, we've got a friend of the show, you know, Perks, I mean, he used to be a co-host, that he loves Destiny, doesn't he? He loves
the feel of it. Destiny guy. Yeah.
He basically loves Bungie, doesn't he? He loves the way, you know, they operate. And I think, to be fair, they found some of Destiny, magical formula. I've always said that the game for me that feels the best to play this generation is Destiny. I think of the way it plays, the gunplay is just unmatched by anything else, really. This generation.
Sorry, I you got me. I'm in that group. Why do you think I play
it? It's true though, isn't it? I think the game feels so good to play. I mean, it's so nice.
I mean, and that's not to say Destiny 2 doesn't have its flaws, that other games have flaws. Like, oh my god, I could definitely go into that route as well. Just, you know, from the smoothness for me. That's when I've used that earlier when we were talking, when I said about Mortal Kombat 11, if this is clunky as heck, I'm going to return it, sort of thing. Mm. Gameplay has to be smooth. And that's not to say, oh, only the latest generation are going to be smooth. No. You want an example of a game that's still smoother than its, you know, than its not its predecessors, its successors, you know, the kids. Soul Calibur 2 from the Soul Calibur franchise is probably the smoothest of that series. Like, if you want the smoothest combat, you find your GameCube, find that old PlayStation 2, boot up Soul Calibur 2, because and Soul Calibur 6, the latest one, closest to the smoothness that I used to have in Soul Calibur 2. Still not as good, in my opinion. So, me, if I had to pick one game to immortalize from the Soul Calibur series as the smoothest, is Soul Calibur 2. So sometimes that gameplay feel, it's not the latest graphics. They changed something in the code.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing is, I mean, I don't even really like Destiny in terms of the whole package, but there's no doubt when I played the game, I was like, yeah, this gameplay is, I can see why people love it.
Yeah, even when I tried it, I could tell that the gameplay and the combat on it was good. Mm-hmm. It just didn't drag me in, but then again, I wasn't a massive fan of Halo, so I was never really going to like Destiny, probably. But, you know.
Well, I mean, I totally understand, boys, about you know, having that game series that's really popular, you just don't really get. For me, it's from a shooter perspective, for me it's the Call of Duty series. I've played them. I've played them with friends. I've had a lot of fun, not going to deny it. But if I have to pick a shooter to play, that's not the one I'm going to pick.
Well, what I would say is, though, with Call of Duty, I get your point, but I would say that's probably not a close second to how Destiny feels. But the way Call of Duty games feel is probably the second in terms of how, you know, in terms of shooters, how they feel, because they feel great as well, to be fair.
Waiting for Battlefield to redeem itself, because like Battlefield was the one that I really liked in smoothness until Destiny came along, and now I picked up Battlefield 1 when it released back in the day, and I regret that. That's one purchase that I'm not happy about that I have.
I don't think they've really, since Battlefield 4, they haven't really, I don't know, the other ones have just haven't.
Which was the Battlefield on Xbox One day one, and we just couldn't play Sud? Was that 4?
Battlefield 4, which is annoying because that game was really good, but the problem was it just didn't work at launch, which affected a lot of people's opinions on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
I mean, that's the other thing. I'm going to say, like, maybe it's just me. Maybe, but more and more now we get these day one games that aren't quite working on day one.
Yeah, tell me about it.
Almost like it's on purpose, isn't it? Because they know they can patch it.
Yeah, and you know what? Let me just say, this is something that I'm actually really glad that, you know, so, a lot of fans, you know, Cyberpunk 2077 is just around the corner.
Yep.
Right, normally it would have already been released. Actually, its original release date was before this, and they delayed it, and then they delayed it again. But I'm glad that they did that, because I'd rather have a good day one game. And this is a personal opinion. Maybe other people would disagree, but I'd rather have a game that it isn't going to bug out and crash my system when it first day. Because we can patch it. Nah.
Yeah.
Finish the job.
That's something we've talked about a lot.
We don't like the common trend of, oh, it's fine. You know, you can imagine these discussions, can't you? But hang on a minute, it's fine. We can just patch it later down the line. You know, and in the past, when there was no updates, you couldn't do that. Because if you did that, your game was broken forever.
Yeah.
And that was it. Whereas, you know, since it was the 360 PS3 days where it started, wasn't it? Because obviously with the updates and things, we started seeing games that were like, oh, hang on a minute. I'm playing a Skyrim here. It's glitching all over the place. It's fine. We'll do a patch in like a month. It'll be okay. And that's carried on to this generation, and like you say, Zanro, so it's gone worse and worse.
It's common practice now.
Yeah.
It is, and it's a common thing.
That's the more single player the game is, the less that seems to happen, typically. I think that seems to be, it started with more multiplayer games and it's kind of kept that trend of being more often the multiplayer games, but it's sneak in with the single player games too. And I'm with you guys. I don't like it. Don't do it.
I remember a game from last year, Days Gone. Oh my God. That game, when it first came out without a patch, was horribly broken. Like really horribly broken.
Is that the one you got me and Perks to play?
No, Days Gone was the, no, I don't think you, no, you haven't played that. I don't think Days Gone.
I can't remember. Which one was it that you got me and Perks to play? It was terrible.
I can't remember, but...
Is it State of Decay?
The State of Decay. Yeah. That was broken as well. That has a lot of problems. I didn't mind that game. I thought it was quite fun in the end, but the game was broken to hell.
I don't remember it.
It was broken to hell when it came out, wasn't it? I mean, there were so many glitches, cars flying everywhere, and you're falling through the map and stuff. It was ridiculous. But Days Gone had similar problems, and, you know, it's... that game actually got affected by it because its review scores were definitely lower than it would have been because of the early problems. So, you know, it goes to show that at least some games are getting punished.
Yeah.
what's another one that's actually been getting really panned by reviewers? It's more recent release.
A recent game.
Godfall.
Beautiful graphics,
but apparently gameplay-wise, and this is a very shallow game apparently. This is sort of build up the point I was making. Like sometimes just because it's got the highest end graphics doesn't make it a winner.
I've got to say though, I never thought that game was going to be good. I think it was pretty obvious it wasn't going to be a good game from the start. For a start of Gearbox, I mean, I know they make Borderlands, but apart from that, what else really have they made that's been very successful? Nothing.
I'm sorry, I'm not a Borderlands fan.
No. Well, there you go. I mean, for you, then it'd be even worse. Like, you've got no association with Gearbox, really. So,
Because I never played one. I played two because my brother picked it up and he said, "Hey, play with me." And I was like, "Yeah, sure, whatever, I'll do it." As a shooter, oh god, it's very fun game, full of references, lots of jokes. It's really good from that front. For me as a shooter, And then I'm not going to go into Borderlands 3 because I think they did a lot of things in Borderlands 3 wrong that I never even bothered to pick it up. I think they did some things right, but I think they did more things wrong overall.
I will say, though, I haven't played the PS5 update on Borderlands 3. Wow, that makes a big difference. Like that feels like the game it should have been on the PS4, if that makes sense. It definitely makes a big difference. It looks better. It runs way better than it did on the PS4. So maybe that's worth, you know, maybe trying at some point.
First, get a PS5.
Yeah, well, yeah. That's the toughest part. But I mean, to be fair with Godfall, I always just thought it looked like a very bad Destiny clone.
Oh, did you? Oh, I didn't.
Well, yeah, because they went for that. Not in terms of gameplay. I just mean in terms of that's the game they want to go. They want to be a Destiny, but with different gameplay, obviously. But that the model they went for was, everything wants to copy Destiny now because Destiny is the best example of a shared world shooter, right? I mean, that's pretty obvious, I think. I think it's done so well and it carries on doing well with Beyond Light. I mean, that's been a success.
I'm not going to lie. I actually thought Godfall was trying to go the Warframe route.
Yeah,
I said
maybe.
It. I thought they were trying to go more Warframe, sort of like close combat mix. Well,
in terms of gameplay, yes. I just mean in terms of the model. I mean, they're all trying to be like Destiny now, aren't they, in terms of success and stuff like that with these shared world games.
Well, we'll see. I mean, I don't know. Destiny is not, no game is perfect. Destiny definitely has its own issues in that regard. But they've definitely been one of the smoothest in terms of that whole, you know, cross-play, multi-creation, whole open world sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. I just said at the minute, people seem happy with Destiny in general.
Yeah. No, I definitely have to agree. Yeah. Especially because even with, what was something, I mean, I'm not the biggest fan of this, but they started sunsetting and vaulting. Content. So they said, hey, we can't keep having everything open. It's just going to slog down the game. We're going to start cycling through content and we'll bring it back. We're not sure when, what the timeline is going to be, but we'll bring it back. And that way we can give you new content and keep the game operating at a good efficiency. And I think that was the right thing to do. And technically, I think they were right to sunset gear. So now you have gear from like 2-3 seasons ago. You can't just keep raising it. So they said, we can't keep raising the power bar. We're going to try to cycle things out so we can reintroduce them in a different way and sort of keep the game fresh as well in that sense. And on one side, that was smart. On a personal side, looking at my weapons, I'm going, fuck you. I've got some winners from back then that I don't want to give up.
It's definitely a difficult balance, isn't it? Pleasing everyone. I mean, you know, no game pleases everyone.
Well, I mean, part of it is because you have to grind for it. You have to find the right drop. Yeah. So once you get the drop, God damn it, I put in the time, sort of thing.
Yeah.
But
yeah, true.
C'est la vie.
Yeah, very true, and it's probably a good place to leave the podcast, boys. I think we've just hit over an hour mark, so great discussion, great chat, and we really appreciate you coming on, Zamros. And where can people find you on Twitch and social media and the like?
Well, yeah, first off, you can find me at twitch.tv/ZamrosRelay. I want to say it's spelled how it sounds, but that's always weird. On there, I also have links to other stuff. You could find me on El Julius on Instagram, though I normally do more artistic photography or food stuff on there. And then if you could find me on El Italiano Vasco for Twitter, but that's been very quiet, to be honest. I'm not very good with Twitter. I know I wasn't very on it before, but then this Oompa Loompa got on there all the time and I just couldn't be bothered. I wonder who that was.
I was going to say
it'll be gone soon.
Yeah, don't worry about Twitter anyway. Twitter's an absolute cesspool anyway. So.
Oh yeah, no, I have it, but like I don't really use it to be honest. But if anyone's welcome to stop by. If I'm streaming, say hi. Happy to chat with anyone and everyone who wants to talk.
Perfect, and I'll put all the links in the description below, so definitely go and check that out if you are listening. And also, if you are watching this podcast on YouTube, please subscribe, comment, and comment with your thoughts on the topics we covered today, and also pass on the podcast. Same for if you're listening to us on any audio devices or even Twitch, as we'd really appreciate that. Help us to grow as a podcast, and you can follow the podcast on social media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at @ChetReachPod, and you can follow me in Sud. Where can people find you, mate?
So it is just that on Twitter for me, at David Tenspud.
The cesspool, that is Twitter. There you'll find something.
There I am. I'm right in the middle of it, yeah.
And you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram, at @lel3ds, @9m for Instagram. But anyway, thanks again, Zamros. Really appreciate that. Great chat. And we'll be back next week to discuss some more game news. Bye, guys. And the